Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Pop Life Podcast. Today is August 18th, Friday. This is Sean. I'm taping alone today. Jeff and Naima are both running around a little crazy. I know we've been wildly inconsistent lately, so I just wanted to try and get something out to you guys. So I figured maybe I'll just tape a little show by myself and see how it works out. So, you know, if you guys really listen to the show, you know the format normally starts with shout outs, in which I never have any. And today is no different. So I really don't have any. And I'm sure Jeff and Naima will have a ton when they come back. I'm really just going to jump into the show because, again, it's just, you know, a bit of a new format for me talking alone. So, we'll start off with TV, and I think I'm going to start off with the Black Ink Chicago crew, which was, like, really insane this week. So this week was sort of second part of the Lake House drama, and you just kind of see the fallout from some of the things that occurred there. And the shit is really wild because, you know, watching Four sort of go on and on about how great this young lady Nikki is, and I kind of just want to pull him to the side and say, yo, bruh, like, she really, really ain't that great. Like, she seems super dramatic and super over the top, but you know what, when you kind of grow up in a bit of dysfunction, I guess that's sort of what you think love or a relationship is. So, you know, God bless him. I mean, hopefully he recognized he did the dummy move with sending the flowers to Kat. And I just think Ford just doesn't have it in him. And, you know, he's one of those guys that doesn't like not being liked. And you can tell that was him trying to really send out an olive branch. I don't think he was trying to fuck. I think he was just trying to send an olive branch to Kat so everything was smooth and cool, and then he didn't have to worry about those two going at it. Clearly that shit backfired. Then he, you know, bought a whole bunch of roses and doing this whole jazz hands, you know, tap dance thing, which is just so lame. It looked lame. It felt lame. She looks like she's just going to run a roughshod over him. But, you know, look, God bless him. He's young. They'll figure it out. And, you know, we'll see. The other shit that was interesting was it's almost kind of weird to see Van and Ryan. You know, they do this whole little boxing match or whatever, and then it was almost like back to normal. Like, it's really not how you handle a situation like that. And what he's done is, like, sort of like Four, like, he doesn't enjoy not being liked. And so he's put himself in this position again where he doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't like being bad cop. And you can see it. They can see it. They can smell it. So he and Van don't have a discussion at all. They throw a couple blows at each other and then boom, all is magically healed and all is fine. And what it really has done is that it just solidified Van and made him feel like he was some sort of conquering hero who, you know, toppled this, you know, king who was operating in tyranny, which is fucking bullshit. Like, you're a fucking employee, dude. Sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up. And, you know, Ryan just gave away the little bit of power. As soon as he drew a line in the sand, he simply gave it away. He was coerced into bringing Danielle back. He was coerced into all of these other situations. And I think mostly, and I think mainly, is because of the weird scene. Well, not the weird scene, but the scene where Kat is in the bathroom while Ryan's in the shower. Look, I'm a spoken for man. I've been married for a long time. I just, there's just never an appropriate time for you to be in the shower and someone to be in it with you, dude. Like, you just can't really talk your way out of that shit. Like, there's really nothing that can be said. It was as weird and as awkward as it looked like. And even the little devilish grin on Kat's face, almost as though she wanted someone to catch them. And she wanted there to be this sort of, this sort of gossip about them too. And I think we kind of mentioned this and talked about this on the show before, that we always thought that she and Ryan had, had something, probably a friends with benefits situation that got a little intense because their reactions and their emotional connections and emotional responses, I should say, had just been really, really just awkward and off. We see that. We see that Kat mentions it to Ryan, at the dock when they're sort of off camera, so to speak. I'm pretty sure that shit did not fly over well with Ryan's old lady now that he's trying to get her back and, do the whole family thing. So we'll see how that shit plays out. It's not really surprising. I think that also played a really, really big role into Danielle coming back and, making nice with Van and really trying to do this whole non-Mag family shit that they talk about, which is fucking utterly ridiculous. And last but not least was, Dawn and Ashley, like, they fucking need each other, okay? They absolutely need each other. They're gonna be, you ever see those couples arguing at 60 and 65 and she's swinging a cane and he's calling all kinds of names? That's gonna be them. That's just what it is. They don't know how to operate any other way. They're attracted to each other because of that shit. They probably have incredible makeup sex, and that is what it is. That's just the nature of their relationship. They need each other. They're a bit codependent on each other for those reasons. So, and dude, you know, stop ODing about the stripper. Okay, don't, guys, like, just chill. Like, the stripper shit is whatever. Like, your girl, she's gonna do that shit a few times in her life. They don't go to strip clubs like us. The culture isn't the same. It's not the same. She does that shit a couple times. Like, nigga, just eat it. Like, you're grown up. Just relax, chill. It's not that big a deal. Okay, well, you worried about the stripper. You need to be worried about old Leonard. That brings her extra condiments and shit when he buys her breakfast in the morning and knows how she likes her eggs. That's the nigga you need to be worried about. Not some stripper, running around in a party bus. All right? So just chill out. Take a minute. Breathe, my nigga. Everything's going to be fine. So with that said, we'll jump into Power. And I don't know, we never really talked about it on the show, but if you guys don't watch Ballers, like, please do. It's a great show. Great in a bit of a cheesy way. This is in its third season. It stars The Rock and John David Washington, which is Denzel's son. And it is eerie sometimes when you actually hear him talk because he sounds so much like his dad, especially when he's raising his voice. But it's a really cool show. It's an easy watch. It's a half hour. I believe it's the lead for Insecure. So just check it out. Even if you just want to catch up on it, like basically a Saturday, 3 hours on a Saturday and you can watch a full season. So check it out if you can. Insecure, I watched. I'm not really that big into the show. I figured, like most shows that I've kind of not really been able to catch up with, I should just jump right in. So I did the last couple of weeks and, I've just seen some things. I mean, listen, I don't think that the show is as great as I think everyone sort of made it out to be. I think it's cool. I don't think it's, this sort of, incredibly groundbreaking material that some people make it out to be. I think a part of that is just, feeling good about seeing some young black folks, living a real life, navigating a real world. And so, when you don't have much of anything, anything that you see can sort of be, engaging and endearing to you. So I think that that's a part of it. But one of the things I wanted to touch on with Insecure was, so believe this character is Molly, who is seeing some guy in a couple of episodes that is married to a friend of hers of some sort. They know each other. This is not a stranger, or she knows him, knows he's married, knows he's in a relationship. And clearly she is a little smitten for him. Handsome guy, tall, charismatic, really engaging, definitely looks like the kind of guy who just is sort of the guy at the party, right? And so you can sort of see, you know, she's a bit, you know, she's feeling him. And I think that he sort of picks up on that vibe. And apparently there was, you know, dude was trying to fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, flat out. I mean, dude was trying to fuck. He basically said as much. And it was about that time when he, you know, mentioned that he had an open marriage and they didn't have any rules and things like that. And it really sort of tripped me out because, not so much as the open marriage part. I don't think that that's, I mean, while it's not common, I don't think that that's an unheard of discussion, in this day and age. I think people do lots of unconventional things and that's fine. That's whatever. But it just seemed really off to try and like fuck somebody that your wife knows. Like, that just seemed to be like real creepish. It's like, I'm not really breaking the rules, but I'm like habitually line stepping on these motherfucking rules. That's what it felt like. So that storyline is really sort of weird and really sort of interesting to see, because you can see throughout the rest of the show that she is a bit, you know, smitten and a bit flattered. She's, you know, clearly attracted to him, and the fact that he's attracted to her, seems to be a bit flattering. But, you know, we watch Issa and she's doing this online dating thing and she's meeting people, and look, I don't really have, a lot of experience in the way that people date now, based on the fact that one, I'm married, and two, when I would have been dating, none of this stuff was available. So the culture of it just seems a little weird and off to me. But I don't know, man. I just, you know, it's that she's not really a character that I like. The you know, the geeky awkward shit is just so heavy handed. It's not really done in a funny and endearing way. I don't really see her as clumsy. I kind of tend to see her as annoying, but you know, God bless. The friends were actually amazing. I don't know who the character was, but the young lady who kept shooing everybody away from their table was pretty entertaining. I really liked her. I'll keep watching the show, but, you know, again, it's not blowing me away or reeling me in. I'm more reeled into the social engagement and sort of, using air quotes, watching this as a family and what that means now. So I'll definitely be watching that. And then, sort of last but not least on TV was Power. You know, look, man, you know, we talked about Power just being a bit ridiculous and being a bit all over the place. And again, it's almost like it just tries to outdoes itself every episode on how ridiculous it can be. And, you know, Tariq's just a fucking mess. He's literally the dumbest black teenager, you know, real of fiction. It's fucking purely comical. You know, Tasha's running around smitten with this attorney, and it's almost as though she's sort of, you know, making this imaginary life for her that doesn't have the consequences of having ghosts. Like, she wants to have the perks and all of the things that come with it, but she doesn't really want to deal with the consequences that come with that life. So you can see her sort of, you know, I guess that's her escape, or he's her escape, in some sort of way. And I think she even said as much on a previous episode. So, you know, we watched this get really, really intense. You know, they're meeting with Colombian cartel bosses in Midtown hotels. I mean, you know, God bless, man. I mean, I really don't know what to say with that, you know, but it is what it is. And I'm interested to see how this wraps up. It's really weird that the Kanan character just sort of literally just disappeared. She's just not even around anymore, which is kind of bugged out. You know, we all saw, you know, the Italian guy inside the Fed penitentiary with Ghost. We all kind of figured that that was going to be Tommy's dad. It turns out that it was Tommy's dad, and his mom finally claimed clean. And you know, that was literally the most predictable shit ever in the show. And you know, I guess Tommy needed a bit of a storyline. He didn't really follow the him and Keisha thing too much, and that's fair and that's fine. The season should be wrapping up in the next 2 weeks. I'm just sort of interested to see how it plays out. They also talked about you know, Power was leaked online recently, and apparently you know, 50 claims that he was the person who leaked it online. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if he's taking credit for it. None of it surprises me. Apparently the show still had a bit of a bump, about a 10% bump, even after the online leak. So again, I couldn't call it. I don't have any sort of intimate knowledge to that. And I'm, you know, reading stuff like everyone else. But I also know that 50 is a little LeVar Ballish in the way he sort of markets things. So I'm interested to see how that is. I mean, I'd be very surprised that 50 would admit to piracy to a major network, especially for someone who's trying to, you know, do business with major networks. I don't really know how that works out, but we'll see. You know, the next episode should be really, really, should be really, really interesting. So, you know, we'll move on into some, other topics. The NFL has been a hot button topic over the last couple weeks, obviously, with Colin Kaepernick, but recently, Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott was suspended for 6 games, for what the league found to be, domestic abuse. He is, able to, appeal that suspension. Unfortunately, the union has negotiated that Roger Goodell is the judge and the jury. So even with the appeal, he has to come back and sit with the same people who gave him the 6-game suspension in the first place. And just to speak on that, last year, these allegations came out, and it was quickly sort of brushed off to the side because apparently, as it was told by most media outlets, that this person was trying to extort Ezekiel Elliott. They were trying to get money from him. There were conflicting accounts of a story, and that the person, the young lady who's the alleged victim here, was asking friends to lie for her in order to gain some traction, to gain some leverage in these allegations. So the long and the short of it is that the DA, the prosecutor, declined to press charges or bring charges against Ezekiel Elliott because of those conflicts, which is understandable. Unfortunately for him, the burden of proof for your employer to take that stand is not the same burden of proof as a court of law needs to take that stand. So the NFL is drawing a line in the sand. Listen, they have fumbled on the 1-yard line time and time again with these suspensions. They have seemed arbitrary. They have seemed somewhat disingenuous, to say the least, in a couple of cases. I don't really know how the NFL Players Association allowed that to happen. And this is, you know, these are the consequences. These are the consequences. And the NFL security teams are usually people who have high level law enforcement background. And what I mean by high level is the people who work security for the NFL are not people who were, you know, who did 7 years walking a beat in the middle of, you know, in the middle of nowhere, USA. It's not really how it goes. You work for the NFL. You have come from a background, either high level municipal law enforcement, or we're talking sergeants, captains, you know, things of that nature. You're talking about guys who worked in the feds, guys who worked in other agencies, and have come highly recommended, highly vetted, come from the PI world. So they have their own little network. And the reason that I even believe that they have their own little network is because that was a part of the Ray Rice situation, was that they were sort of able to get these tapes and they were able to do things that other folks weren't necessarily able to do. They concluded that there was enough evidence that even with the conflicting stories, even with this woman saying a couple of things that were really sort of nefarious and you know, potentially criminal as well, that they're saying that, yeah, she did all of that shit, but you still put hands on her, according to us, and we're suspending you because we don't know what else is happening. You know, and Zeke has shown in the past that he has a propensity for being a certain way toward women, and maybe not even being able to control his anger. He recently was, you know, sort of put out of a club. I believe he was arrested for, like, hitting a DJ. There's the St. Patrick's Day parade situation where he, like, pulls a woman's, you know, shirt down and exposes her breasts. And, you know, now we sort of look at things with a little bit of a different eye. So say, you know, 15 years ago, he does that and that young lady, you know, sort of laughs it off. We don't really think much of it now, but understanding that she was probably caught off guard, didn't really know how to react. Maybe this was, you know, she clearly did not ask for her breast to be exposed. She was fully capable of doing it herself. So I think we just kind of look at these things with a little more of, for lack of a better term, a little more of a trained eye. And he really should have been suspended for that. You know, I think that's pretty much the consensus. With that said, his attorney and his dad and the Players Association begin to, you know, basically sort of leak information in an effort to do, you know, the basic sort of, you know, ruin the victim's credibility, right? Like, that's the MO right now. She's a liar. She's this, she's that. And she's possibly all of those things. She is also possibly someone who has been abused by Ezekiel Elliott, because in none of these statements, not one of these statements from his father, from himself, from his representatives, has no one said, this woman is lying. I never put my hands on her. She is completely fabricating this story. No one has said that. It is all turned into, how are you going to believe her? And what are you going to do? Now, listen, the NFL, they have more than the capabilities to get the information that they need. Apparently, they had a forensic, a technology for forensics investigator sweep this young woman's phone, went through all of her text messages. So they've been able to find information where she was doing some things that are, you know, probably going to be frowned upon and should be frowned upon on her behalf. But also, too, they found enough evidence to say, hey, you know, there's a lot of smoke here and we're going to chase it. And they're standing on the side of, you know, there was smoke, there was fire, and we found it. And, you know, he's probably going to appeal this. Maybe he gets knocked down to four games. I kind of don't know, you know, what happens. His dad released a statement. And again, the dad releases a statement. Again, it never really tells you that his son was innocent, that his son didn't do any of these things that he's being accused of. It is really simply just them going after a, you know, going after the character of the young lady who, you know, made the allegations. It was bad. It felt bad. It really sort of explained a lot. If this was your dad, if this was the stance your dad was taking publicly, it really, it reeked of, a privileged child. It reeked of someone who has gotten away with shit because they were really good at football and they were really a great jock. And, I'm pretty sure that his dad actually played. I think he played college ball. He might have played in the league for a little while. So I wasn't necessarily surprised knowing the background of his dad, but I was really surprised just as a dad. I mean, if we are not willing to hold our sons accountable as the men in their lives, we are the alpha and the omega of manhood to them. And if we are not willing to do that, then it tells me that we failed as parents and that this is probably some shit that goes on in our house as well. So this is viewed, this abusive behavior is viewed in a sort of normal prism. It is, you know, not uncommon to see these sorts of exchanges, to have these sorts of relationships. And he seems to be like okay with that. And, you know, the young lady also seems to have a bit of dysfunction based on some of her behavior. So, you know, this isn't for me to try to victim blame, but it is to sort of give some, perspective that, the things that are being said are not completely, you know, just made up on the spot to sort of damage this person. She did do some of these things. At least a couple of these things have been done and confirmed. So we'll see how it plays out. The Players Union, which is the weakest union in the nation, has seemingly done more to defend and represent Ezekiel Elliott than they have for Kaepernick. And that should be telling in terms of how this Players Union operates, what they think, how they feel. Jerry Jones, who is the most important owner, probably next to the Maras, who own the Giants. Jerry has clearly got the Dallas Cowboys might be, if you took the top five, maybe top 10 sports team valuations in the world globally, I'm pretty sure Dallas ranks high. Probably top five if I had to estimate. So he's a very important person. He's pissed. We'll see how this plays out with Roger Goodell. Clearly Roger's trying to clean up a mess that he created with the Ray Rice situation and how they botched it and how they handled it, how they did Josh Brown and all of these other instances. There are several instances. But, you know, while I think that they have, you know, fucked up and fumbled several times and they're sort of viewed as the man, I don't necessarily know that the information that they were able to attain is not proving them to be right. I definitely don't think that they would take a stand against the leading rusher in the league and the biggest, most popular team in the league and the most powerful owner in the league if they didn't feel like they had enough to stand on, especially considering the egg on their face that they had to wipe off the entirety of last year. So I'm interested to see how it goes. I honestly, if I had to take a guess, I think dude's a pretty fucking terrible person. But you know what? I'm also not the moral police. And there are a lot of fucking pretty terrible people that play in the NFL. Some of them we know, some of them we don't know. So I'm not about to sit here and you know, get on my soapbox about passing judgment about who we should support and who we shouldn't support. But in terms of watching football, obviously not supporting any sort of, you know, domestic violence or any sort of ridiculous ass behavior that dude has displayed. But, you know, I'm not, you know, going to say and take some stand to sound good or make people feel better. Like, you know what, when fucking kickoff comes, I'm gonna watch the NFL like most folks. I don't look to them for to be my moral compass. I don't look to them for leadership in any sort of capacity. It's purely entertainment for me, and that sort of is what it is. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And you know, so the next thing that was fucking killing me, man. So, and normally, you guys know that I steer clear of Love and Hip Hop conversation. This is a bit Love and Hip Hop adjacent. So, Cardi B, who is got the number one record in the country, I believe, with Bodak Yellow, recently, you know, was on Instagram. She'd gotten a new Bentley truck, or she took a picture with a Bentley truck that was apparently hers. And it just fucking set Twitter on fire, man. Like, it just fucking set Twitter on fire. And, you know, look, you know, personally, you know, I'm happy, to see her winning. I like it. I enjoy it. And obviously, we have a horse in that race. So, you know, like I said, I try to separate myself from that a bit, but really what got to me and what bothered me, man, was like the reaction. And like the reaction was so, it was so sharp. And it was, you know, I saw like mostly from guys, you know, oh, she shouldn't be doing that. And, you know, and let me tell you something else, man. Like, I'm sick of you fucking certified barbershop financial advisors talking about shit that you clearly don't have the range to talk about when it comes to finances, okay? Because the moment you fuckers start using, well, Bill Gates don't, dot, 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 insert whatever the black person just did shit, is like, it's such fucking low-hanging fruit. And it really tells me that you have no nuance, and a lot of you niggas are getting your financial advice from burnt-out buildings, listening to Umar lectures. Okay, like, stop. Let her have her fucking fun. Let her be who the fuck she wants to be. Okay, because none of you niggas are gonna have to worry about her pockets ever. Like, so just stop. I saw one guy tweeting about, is that the example she should be saying? What example, my nigga? Like, what example are you talking about? Like, y'all really think that folks are looking to Cardi B for financial literacy and financial advice? They're coming to Cardi B's page to learn how to eliminate debt and accumulate wealth? Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, just say what it is you want to say, which is, I fucking hate that she gets to do this shit and I don't. Cause that's really what it sounds like, my nigga. Like that you're going through a bunch of excuses. You're going through a bunch of, you're making up a bunch of shit to simply to go in a round and about way because you don't really want to admit the fact that, you know, you don't really fucking like it that she gets to go do these things and you don't. Like that's what it feels like. Like a Bentley truck, man. Like that's attainable for people. Like, I don't know what type of bread, like whether or not it's a smart decision is inconsequential. It's attainable. It's an attainable thing. And if she wants to do that because she wants to feel good, or maybe that was her dream car, or maybe that was whatever, like, so the fuck what? Like, none of you niggas are gonna have to worry about helping her if she ever needs it. So why is this shit even ruffling your feathers? And there's another thing that goes on, which is there's this sense of feeling overly connected to people personally that's fucking weird to me. Like, there's this, I knew her when. Like, yeah, Cardi had a following. Obviously, the show has expanded that following. It's given her a platform. It's given her the ability to do some things and do things like have spreads in the New York Times and have the number one record in the country and really have, like, she just did a show. There was a fucking massive amount of people out there. She's almost like not even needing to perform the song. So it's an incredible run. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so people feel like, okay, I was there from the beginning. I feel like I get to have input about what her next moves are or what her moves are. Like, fuck out of here, dude. Like, get the fuck out of here with that, man. Like, stop being so emotionally wrapped up into these artists and stop being so emotionally wrapped up into these personalities, man. Like, it's fucking entertainment. And if you niggas are looking to her for financial literacy or financial responsibility, then you're so lost, my nigga. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So God bless, leave Cardi B, let her live her best fucking life. You never know how fast or how long you're going to have a run, okay? Enjoy that shit while you can, okay? Because not everybody gets to do this. And there are a bunch of motherfuckers out there right now that would, you know, cut off their fucking pinky toe to have a measure of the success that she's had. And they've been doing this shit for years, and they'll tell you and they'll come and give you all of the hems and haws about, nah, I love the grind and all that shit. No, you don't. No, you don't, nigga. No, you don't. Okay. So with that said, leave Cardi B. Let her do what the fuck she doing. Stop worrying, but stop pocket watching. It's not becoming of a grown up. Okay, stop pocket watching. Shit is whack, and you look like a dick rider. So, last but not least, you know, you guys know that I have really sort of strayed away a bit from political discussions because it had become exhausting. Like, it had become an emotional drain for me. It had become, you know, a mental drain for me. It was very difficult for me to sort of keep up. It was like the moment you would see a story or something would come across your actual news feed, at like, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, by like 1 or 2 o'clock, that shit was history. And there was something else that was egregious and just foolish. So for a minute I checked out. So apparently in Charlottesville, where the University of Virginia was, and again, you know, forgive me if some of these things aren't as accurate. There was a march. Like, it was a fucking white supremacist march. There was a march of, you know, young, able-bodied white men who felt like they were being displaced. And they were marching on the campus of the University of Virginia in the South with fucking torches. And the optics were exactly what it sounded like. And what you saw was a bunch of pieces of shit. I mean, there's really no other way to get around it. There was some press out there. They took some pictures. They posted pictures. There were a few scuffles, nothing to, you know, really be alarmed at. But, you know, ultimately, you know, again, we watch these folks able to, you know, basically sort of do what the fuck they want to do, and the police not really intervene or really step in or really make it a point to be active or be seen. But we saw quite a few of these guys, pictures, really, excuse me, really good and clear pictures, you know, sort of posting and going viral. And they were like, regular Joes. They were like regular Joes, and people found them, and people called their fucking jobs, and people called the schools that they attended, or, you know, again, places of employment. And the goal was to sort of make life a living hell. And I hope that happens. And you know what? I'm not about to sit here and have this fucking both sides conversation, right? There is no both sides, okay? I mean, we know this. Like, anybody who's listening to this show and doesn't know that, then you don't need to be listening to this show. I mean, what the fuck are we talking about here? Okay? And then there was a second protest against the removal of a Confederate statue of Robert E. Lee in Charlottesville. And there was a ton of white supremacist groups, you know, that came up and, you know, basically sort of mounted up, you know, made Charlottesville their location, the place that they were going to meet up and, you know, show this protest. And there was a lot of press. And this is where I'm kind of going to go a little bit. And there was some violence, and there was a young man who was being beaten by several white men. Possibly, maybe he was 75 yards, 100 yards from the police station in the garage. He's being beaten. And initially what we saw was a still image. We saw, you know, the young man, you know, staggering, being pummeled with sticks, surrounded by about 3 or 4 white men at that time with that particular image. And I said at the time that I found it very hard for me to wrap my head around that as a human and as a person, as a man, that you would see someone in need. And this isn't play need, right? Like, this is very, fucking life and death right now, right? Like, this is the potential of this kid to be stomped out and killed. This is the potential of God knows what to happen. And I get that in life that there are some people who run toward the danger and some people who run from the danger. But to see that young man being beaten, and your reaction is to not only just, I'm not going to assist him, but I'm not even going to fucking call anybody to assist him. So that was my initial reaction to that still photo. And I was kind of called out a little bit on the carpet by a friend to the show. I think her name is Tia. She works down in Jacksonville. And she said, you know, look, he's doing his job. You can't really, you know, get on him for doing his job. And I said, you know what? Okay. We don't know what happened after that, right? Maybe that was just a split second. Maybe he got the shot. Maybe he aided this young man. So today I see video footage of this, and it was more enraging than the actual still footage, because not only is it from a completely different angle than the still image, is that you now see that there are like 7 people standing around idle as these guys fucking beat this kid and bust his head to the fucking white meat. Like, they're idle and they're taping, and no one says stop. No one says call the police. No one says anything. And like, there is no way for me to separate the fact that those journalists were white. It's just no way. It's just no fucking way, because I can't imagine that they would have watched a young white man be beaten like that, or a young woman be beaten like that. There's just no way. And I just felt like, and I've recently felt like, a lot of, you know, this black pain image, right? Like, this shit is real. Like, this is really something that's like a very, very real thing. I mean, I know it was a real thing before, but like, watching these people not even see the humanity or the imminent danger that this kid could have been in. And they just fucking stood there. It was like, I mean, was the image that important? It's like, I just could not wrap my head around it. And maybe that's why I'm not a photographer. Maybe that's why I'm not a journalist. And again, I'm not suggesting some man go out and risk life and limb. But I do suggest that if you are standing around and you have a phone in your hand or a camera in your hand, and someone is potentially, you know, like getting, if someone is getting jumped on in a very life and death situation, this is clearly like, these motherfuckers ain't playing out here. They not roughhousing. Like, this is very real. And you guys didn't even scream. You didn't call. You didn't say stop. It was nothing. You just watched the shit happen. So you know what? To everybody that was in that parking garage, I'm glad you got your shots, but fuck you. And that shit is whack. That shit is corny. All of you news outlets now, it seems like Nazi becoming a word has becoming the trigger word, right? So now when we, you know, talk about these things, when it was just the black folks, when it was just the niggas and the spicks, it was still a lot of, well, you know, let's wait and see. They're not really being all that, you know, bad. I think you might be, you know, looking at this wrong. Let's check the other side and all of that sort of shit. And then the moment that Nazi came up, oh, you know, all bets was off then. So, I mean, look, if that's what brought you around, fuck it. That's what brought you around. I mean, I really don't know what else to say to you. But we see you, you know, we see the jig, at least I do, or I feel I do. I do want to say, rest in peace. There were 2 police officers who were killed in Charlottesville that day in a helicopter crash. They were basically sort of hovering around and hovering over, the crowds to sort of, you know, see what was going on. And again, you know, rest in peace to them. You know, these guys were obviously out on duty, and I'm sure that their loved ones would have wanted them to come home. Also, an obvious shout to Heather Hare, 32. She was a protester out there, and she was killed when a vehicle was basically used in a domestic terrorism incident. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. You know, we were all sort of watching this, protest live. Next thing we know, sort of all hell breaks loose, and apparently we get to see there's a guy, I don't have his name right now, but James Alex Fields Jr., who has a history of, racist shit, according to social media and some other outlets. He's a far right guy. And it looks like the vehicle, when I saw the plates, it was Ohio, so that really didn't surprise me at all. Claims he was afraid. He sped up, literally barrels through the crowd. Excuse me. Very literally barrels through the crowd. And it was astonishing. I hate to say this, but, again, for lack of a better term, it's astonishing that more people didn't die. There were about 19 injured. One person died. And he's being held right now on several charges, all for the state of Virginia. They are processing now to see if he will be getting federal charges. And as per Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, they are seeing right now if there are federal charges to be filed. I would not be surprised if they did not file federal charges. I would be very surprised if the state of Virginia doesn't throw his ass under the bus and put him under the jail. So we'll see, how that plays out. But there were lots of people there, really sort of trying to look in the face of racism. There's another, photo of a black officer who's basically on a security detail for these, racist pieces of shit. And, a photographer, he takes this picture and there's, everyone's trying to be poignant and poetic. And I get it, man. But I'm just like, it's fucking James. James looking to get his 10 hours and take his ass home to his kids, man. And he don't really want to be here. He don't want none of this shit. They ain't no, James ain't taking no honor in this. He ain't no high road in this shit. You know what I'm saying? And, look, obviously I'm talking shit. I don't know who that officer is. But, miss me with the fucking powerful imagery. Whatever, man. We've been saying what the fuck it was. And now y'all saw what it was. So, we'll see what it's going to be. And then, then the dickhead president, he does the dickhead president shit. He comes out and you got to hear both sides and, we got to see. And there were other people who were doing stuff. And, he's fucking 6 years old. What are we going to say here, man? Like, there's nothing else to say that hasn't been said. He's really not a smart man. He's really not a bright man. He understands, though, that if he pisses that section of America off, he can really be out on his ass in no time. And he's going to need those people. And he's definitely going to need those people to go out and get him support in the other facets of government and pressure local, state, and regional folks as well. So, look, man, the president is the president, and he's a fucking idiot. He's a dick. And we're never going to be able to, shake that out. Hopefully they fucking impeach this dickhead soon. Anyway, that's pretty much it, man. I really don't have much else to say. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this. I really can't wait for Nye and Finn Jeff to get back. And hopefully we'll be in the studio so we can, get another show up and running and get a live show where we're all together and engaging, remote Sometimes it's difficult for all of us sound and just moving around and just still having our lives going on. So we thank you guys for all of the support again. We appreciate it. We appreciate the responses on Twitter. If you can, definitely go to iTunes, rate us. That'll really sort of help us get into different spaces. Leave a comment, hit us on Twitter. Let us know what you think of the show. We really do appreciate and consider all of the feedback that you guys give us, good, bad, or indifferent. You know what I mean? Let us know. We're always looking for ways to improve the show. All right. Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.